Ephesians 4, beginning of verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Let's pray. Our Father in God, we do know that we owe it all to you, as we have just heard. We thank you for the love that you have for us in sending the Lord Jesus Christ, that you loved us before we loved you. We thank you that he was a sacrificial Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, that he bore our penalty and price. And we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together to worship. And we pray, Father, that as we look into the Word of God now, that you'd help all of us to be in tune with the Spirit of God, to not put it out as we go into the Word of God and get carried about with all of the activities of the day. But, Father, that you'd help us to just be available for the Spirit of God to work in each one of us, that we might learn of you and learn of our responsibilities, and that, Lord, we might be able to be a vessel fitted for the Master's use. And we commit our study of the Word of God, and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. First of all, let me begin with saying that we ought to be really encouraged, you know, thinking about Christ as the Lamb of God. And it is a privilege, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we ought to be encouraged above all people and to be able to get together with other people who love the Lord and to study the Word of God and to fellowship with one another. And I trust and hope that that is true with you today and that it is with me. As we come this morning, as I mentioned last week, we will be having our last message in 1 Peter next week. So next week will be our last message in 1 Peter. We've been going through the book verse by verse. We have one message left. And last week we had a missionary. And then, well, why not today? As you know, we have small groups coming up, and I do want to address that with us this morning, even as Chris has been talking about a number of things in relationship to small groups. And so our message will be indeed related to that. I don't think it's news. I don't think it's a surprise to anybody unless you really spend your entire week in the home without looking at any media and without being aware of the world that you live in. I don't think it's a surprise that we are living in a time that is involved with a major culture shift. The culture shift is unbelievable. And the pace of the culture shift is even more amazing. We are also living in a day and age in which there is a major turnover of technology, the availability of technology and the technology being outdated and updated, and the changes are at such a rapid, rapid pace. In my lifetime, I can go back to not only seeing pictures of people landing on the moon, but remember the occasion. I can remember when not many children went to college. Now it's assumed that everybody's going to college. And I can remember when I was one of the first ones to ride in an airplane in my family. And that is common today. And as much as I reflect on things like that, and you say this is about Pastor Dan's age, I guess. No, not really. The pace in which things are going today are much more rapid. And it is absolutely amazing. Our children and your grandchildren very shortly are not even going to know what CDs are, let alone anything prior to that. MP3s, and that stuff is just moving at such a rapid pace. And computers is obvious right here. We make some changes with screens and new technology, and the computer can't even keep up with it anymore, so now we have to change our computer. And that's the truth, and that's the reality of the day and age in which we're living in. Also, I don't think it should be news to you, and if it is, I encourage you to really be involved in prayer and study of the Word, that we are living in a time in which Christian values are increasingly, rapidly being attacked and being stripped from our country, from people's thinking, at such a tremendous, tremendous pace. And that is where we are today. That's the world that you and I live in. And even as we've been studying 1 Peter, we are aliens to this world. We are here to be a testimony for Christ and to stand, even in relationship to the meeting coming up and the Constitution and the changes. I was talking with Pastor Coe this morning, and we were talking about the very fact of how churches have to take stands in what is coming, and many churches are not taking those stands. Many are not. And by the way, with the changes, there was some suggestions, and those changes have been incorporated into the change. When it comes to Fellowship Bible Church, every local assembly, God's by design has local assemblies all over the world. And right here in New England, all over New England, there are a number of local churches that come together. But my purpose today and with you is to focus for a moment on Fellowship Bible Church, this church that you are attending. And if you happen to be a guest today or passing through, I saw the Riddles today. It's wonderful to see them and see what God's doing in their life and happen to be visiting. But they've been a big part of this church and their history. And as we come together, that's my concentration today, Fellowship Bible Church. And I would say that as I looked over Fellowship Bible Church and have considered it over the years, then I think it's safe to say that we are known for being a Bible-centered preaching, teaching ministry. I think that's a very fair statement. This church is known, and I have had a number of occasions where even others in this area, when they were looking for a church that was preaching and teaching, they would send people here. That doesn't mean that other churches are not teaching or preaching. Don't take it that way at all. However, that is what we're known for. Whether it be in the pulpit, or whether it be in the Christian growth classes that we have, whether it be in the age-sensitive ministries, just to cover them all, because we have many of them, or whether it be in the school, I think what we're noted for is our emphasis on being Bible-centered and teaching the Word of God. And yet, I think it's fair to say also, we are not meeting Fellowship Bible Church, meeting the potential for what we could be doing in the areas of fellowship, in the areas of prayer, in the areas of missions, in the area of evangelism, or in the area of community outreach. I don't think in any of those areas that we're reaching the potential that we could be reaching. Statistically, we have about half or more, 50% or more of the Sunday morning attendees that are not involved. They're not involved or identified with the body of Christ except on Sunday morning. Now, in case you think that I'm rebuking, I'm not. I'm just stating the facts. And in case you think that that's different, it's not. It is not uncommon. If you look at statistics and you go on the internet and study it out, you will find that that is true in almost every single local assembly, even the most active. And I have attended churches that have had thousands of people. And when you get into thousands of people and you break it down, you'd be surprised that there are over, let's just take it 1,000, over 500 people that what they do is they come to church on Sunday morning. That's what they do. And that's all they do. So it's a common factor among local churches. Now, there are many reasons for this. We have to be realistic. There are many reasons, some of which, I'll just give you some examples to try to be open about this. Some reasons that people are just Sunday morning attendees are because of the circumstances of life. That's just a reality. And what do we mean by that? Age. Sometimes because of the age of people, that's all they can do is make that out to the morning service as far as attendance. Others, because of physical handicaps or limitations at a given time. There is also some circumstances of life, such as work schedules. There are people, because of the type of work that they do, the only time that they have free is a Sunday morning. And you might say that, how can that possibly be? Well, there are situations that when many other things are going on because of the work situation that they are in. Others, legitimately because of changing family circumstances that happen, whether that be the shifts that are happening with the ages of the children or things that are going on in the life or even in their own life. And so there are legitimate reasons that sometimes that people are just here on Sunday mornings or at any church. But there's also some other reasons that that is true, if we're going to be honest about it and address it. Some of it is because of the leadership. And what do we mean by that? Because sometimes there's lack of sensitivity or oversight or lack of shepherding the way it should be. Sometimes it's lack of promotion. I think that has been a very big weakness of this church over the years, promoting things, because sometimes we get afraid of that. Not enough personal interaction. Now, that is not an excuse for anybody's walk, but I'm saying sometimes that's a reality to what happens. There's also other factors that affect people, so they only come out on Sunday morning, and that has to be addressed as well. And what is that? It's people's lack of interest in spiritual things, lack of sensitivity to other people in the body, their lack of friendliness. Sometimes people talk about others not being friendly, and they themselves make no effort whatsoever to be friendly with other people. Some, and this is very common today, not just among any local assembly, but I would say all local assemblies, and that is the idea or the influence of the world on me. Everything is about me, my schedule, my children, my family, my work, my Facebook, my iPhone, my this, and we even name stuff after that. And everything is a self-centered life, so it is not what is on the sides of the church. It is all about, well, I will come if it meets my needs, my teens, my senior saints, my family schedule, my time when I'm free. And that is sometimes what affects it. Now, having said that, and you might say, well, that's not too encouraging, Pastor Dan. I'm just trying to, first of all, lay out the reality of where we are at and what is going on. And it is our hope as a board of elders, and it is my hope as a pastor, and it is our hope as a church, that small groups become a tool. Now listen carefully. It is not an answer all. It is not something that is going to resolve everything. In fact, I will be bold enough to say that the only thing that can resolve spiritual struggles in someone's life is the personal relationship with the Lord and where we're really at, and being honest about it with our reading, with our prayer life, and honestly assessing no one else but ourselves as to where we are spiritually. And to do an honest evaluation, I think, can be very frightening to me and to you if we would do it. Most of us are not willing to do that. However, I think small groups can be a tool, and we hope that, to facilitate, and I want you to listen, facilitate opportunities to improve. Small groups is simply a tool to facilitate the opportunity to improve our involvement with one another and our encouragement with one another. And that is one of the things that we are looking for small groups to do as a local church. Now, I'm going to deal with the practical in just a few moments. And I am going to try to filter that out and take a good look at it. But before I do that, it's more important to see what the scriptures are talking about here. You're very familiar with this text. I have preached on this a number of times. Pastor Stringer in the past has preached on this a number of times in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're very familiar with it. But let's take a look, and I think it's going to be important when I talk about small groups. Notice, first of all, I read the verses 11 through 16, and notice them because I'm going to highlight it. First of all, I want you to notice that while every believer has been gifted by the Lord has gifted, if you're a believer today, the Lord has given you gifts to function in the body of Christ. He has. But I want you to notice that he's also given gifts to the church. That is not my design. That is not your design. That is God's design. He says so in verse 11, and I didn't look at all the context. You can do that. But because of the victory of Christ, he has given gifts to the church. And what are they? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. That is God's design. God's design is to give to the church gifted people who are gifted by God, not of their own doing, to be able to teach and preach the word and shepherd the flock. And to begin with, we ought to be thankful for that. And I know this church is. I know that I've seen it with Pastor Stringer, and I've seen it with myself and others, and very appreciative of the church and their thankfulness. But let's also be realistic. It is very easy to take for granted the elders and to take for granted the pastors and teachers. And you need to realize that they're God's gift to the church. And while there are some churches that try to operate without anybody in the pulpit and so forth, and giving for guidance, you will see that in time, people will be off on their own and it will not be what it should be. I would say this to you. Too often, I think we take for granted the people that God gives us. And I'm going to bring it home to us. I'll bring it home to you couples. Yesterday, I was involved with a 50th wedding anniversary celebration. It was wonderful. And it's great to see when God brings couples together like that. But I would say that even in that marriage, I bet at times, and in all of our marriages, we take for granted our spouses. God gives us a gift of having a spouse that is faithful to us. And honestly, it's very easy because we live with them every day. And because I live with my wife every day, I am sure she knows everything I do wrong. Guaranteed, right? There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not being unrealistic, but she could tell you things I don't want her to tell you about, right? And it's true. And because of that, and it's same with my wife, and my wife's not here today because she's still recovering from surgery, but I've been on my knees because there's many ways that I take my wife for granted and don't appreciate her as much as I should. You know, it's very easy to do that when God gives us gifts. And the same thing is true with our children. Isn't that true? Children are a gift from the Lord. They're a heritage. And too often we forget to be thankful for the children that God has given us. And even when they're struggling, be thankful for the situations. We see the things that they do wrong. I've seen it with all five of my children ever since they were born. And even as they grow older, but still, I'm grateful for that, and we ought to be. And so I want to begin to challenge us right away. Whatever assembly, if you're visiting here today, you ought to be thankful for the pastor that you have. You ought to be thankful for the elders that you have. And so should we as a local church, because God's given those gifts so that we can function that way. Well, why has he given them? This is what's going to lead to the small groups. Why has God given them? Well, look, he tells you the reason. For the equipping of the saints. That's the primary purpose. And I know there are churches where the pastors do everything. And there's nothing wrong with that. I will sweep the floor. I will change the drapes if that's what you'd like me to do, or put on the light bulbs or whatever. That's not a problem. But many churches operate that way, and that they expect that the pastor's supposed to do this, 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 and they got their long laundry list. I've been sent some funny emails about the qualifications for pastors, and it is really humorous when you look at some of it. But really, the primary responsibility in that shepherding is to equip the saints. That's what he says. Those gifts are given to equip the saints. That word equip means to restore, if you look at that word. It means to make complete. It actually is interesting because the root of the word came from, and I found this interesting in what my wife is going through, it's a little different, but to set the bones. That's what it means. It comes from the word that means to set the bones back into place. It means to make that complete. It is used that way. Let me just give you two quick texts. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11, the verb form is here. It says this. It says, finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete. That's the verb. That's when it says that he's given them to equip. The English word equip is used there. It says be made complete. It's the verb form of the same word. To be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. One more text I'll turn you to, just the Corinthian text. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, and you'll see the use of the word again, just to show you that when I say it means to restore, to make complete, to set the bones, that's the idea. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10 it says, now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be, here it is, made complete in the same mind. Be made complete. That's the idea. So God has given us leaders, why? To make us complete, to equip who? The saints. That's all of us. Why? He tells you in verse 12, back in Ephesians. He says, for the work of service. Or some translate it, for the work of the ministry. Who is the work of the ministry supposed to be on? The pastor of the church? No. Or I should say yes, but not alone. Let me put it that way. It's probably more accurate. The work of the ministry is yours, and it is mine together. And we are to be involved in the work of the ministry. And we need to be equipped to do that. And it is the pastor's responsibility and teachers to equip you with the right tools so that you can carry on the ministry. So that you can carry on the ministry. What? Believers are to be involved. They're the ones to serve. It is not about attendance. It is not about passivity. I was encouraged, it was interesting, talking with a parent today. The parent will know who it is when I say it, but I was really encouraged. I was asking about how things are going with a particular person, and what they said, it was interesting because a different aspect of their life, and they said this aspect is now dealing with service, and the individual had made the basic comment that, you know, it's nice to be served, but now I'm supposed to be serving, and they're learning this particular aspect of it. And I was encouraged, you know, really with that family, and it helps me to pray for that situation a little bit better. But that is true. We are not here just to be served, just to be ministered to. If you come here Sunday after Sunday and attend church and go your way and are not involved in the work of the ministry, you're not doing what God called you to do. Plain and simple. And that's not a rebuke, it's just a statement of fact. What we are to do is be involved in the ministry. Why? I want you to catch this. Look at verse 12. You are to be equipped for the ministry, work of the service, for what purpose? To build up the body of Christ. That's what it says, does it not, in verse 12? That's what it says. You're to be equipped so that you can carry, have the right equipment, the tools, to carry on the ministry yourselves. And what is your purpose? You are to be constantly involved in building up the body. Let me stop right there. How are we doing? How am I doing? How are you doing? Is your involvement this past week been one of continuously building up the body. That's what you're called to do. You say, it's your job, Pastor Dan, to build up the body. Well, it's my job to equip and to be involved in building up as well. Your involvement is to be involved in building up the body. Believers are to be involved in the construction work. They are to be involved in the construction. Now, I understand Jesus Christ builds his church, and he draws people in. That's what it clearly says. But we are involved as parts of that building to be involved in the construction process. You might say, well, I'm not in construction. Yes, you are. And so am I. Don't give me a hammer, because I will break something. And I'm talking about me. But I'm still to be involved in the building up of the body. And so are each of you. So are each of you. I want you to notice this. What is the goal of building up the body? Catch this, and then you'll see where small groups will come in a second. I want you to see what the text says. Until we all attain to what? Come on. The unity, right? Yeah. Unity. You and I are to be involved in the body, equipped, given the tools, so that we are serving the body and being involved in our construction process, so the body is involved in unity, and I'm going to give it to you very rapidly. In the unity of faith, in the unity of the knowledge of Christ, you can look at it there, in the unity of spiritual growth, in the unity of God's glory, in the unity of sound doctrine and discernment, in the unity, if you will, of being able to stand against the forces of this world. And it goes on to say that the unity is to be involved after he goes through the craftiness and speaking the truth, so that the whole body, verse 16, everybody's involved. Look at verse 16. Being fitted together, held together by what every joint supplies, according to its proper working of each individual part. And that's the design for every local body. That every local body, you've been given leadership to help equip you so that you can be involved, so that all the time what is going on is you are involved in the construction process. And sometimes we take the sledgehammer and knock it down. That shouldn't happen. We should be able to take that hammer and fine-tune it and help build it. And we should all be involved. Does that mean that everybody's going to always think the same and everybody's going to have every little line, jot, and tittle the same? No, of course not. We're not. We're human beings. But the objective is that we're functioning in unity. Now, where do the small groups come in? Well, I want you to notice this. If you got nothing else from that text this morning, get this. And I'm going to quote something that I read one time, and I think it's very accurate. Listen carefully. I'll do it twice. Growth was never intended by God to happen in isolation. Let me repeat that. That's not my quote. I'm quoting someone else. Growth was never intended by God to happen in isolation. If you're a Sunday morning attendee only, and you're isolating yourself from the body of Christ, you can talk about growth all you want, but that has never been God's intent. That's why God brought people together. Because throughout the world, there are believers, and we need one another. We ought to grow as a community. We ought to grow as a local church, in a local church setting. And Sunday morning is limited. Generally, I say this, this is not the opportunity for you to ask questions, just like now. I'm doing all the talking. You're sitting there. Some of you, you know, are probably very active in it, and others may not be. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in each individual life. But you can't have interaction. You can't have an opportunity to ask questions. And I say that, and I put it in a general way, because throughout my preaching years, I have had people raise their hand and stop the service and ask questions. I have. I haven't had it happen here yet, but I had it happen in North Andover. Okay? This is where small groups come in. Why? They're practical. Small groups are practical because it enables us throughout the week to be able to get together and to be able to be actively involved and to be actively participating and asking questions that we have and to be able to get involved in the situation. In the past, and I want to just open this up to you here. In the past, Fellowship Bible Church has been built off home Bible studies. And the home Bible studies particularly were taught by Pastor Stringer or myself or some other men. Primarily it was Pastor Stringer, and then it was Pastor Stringer and myself have been involved in home Bible studies. And they were independent Bible studies that were held in houses and in various geographical situations. They were very helpful in building up the church, and I'll be very frank, they were also, unfortunately, some of them developed into very cliquish situations and became very destructive, and that's a fact of our history. Some of them, as what happened, they didn't become the unifying source that they should have been and became destructive. At the present time, really, home Bible studies and small groups are the same thing. It's the same concept with some exceptions. We have moved in the direction as Fellowship Bible Church, as many churches have, into the area of small groups. Why? Listen carefully. As you looked at the text, the idea is the unity of the faith, the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God, the mature man, and all of that going on in the passage. Small groups are designed for that, unity. You say, but they're different groups. Yes. However, there's unity in the material. There is unity in the material. Every small group is studying the same material. It is not independent, and I'm doing my thing separate from the church. It's the local body functioning together where we know that whatever small group is being taught, we're teaching the same material. It also has the same objectives. There's not a separate objective for this group and that group. Everybody basically has the same objective in bringing glory to God and the other things. It presents a unity as a church in its outreach. It's not independent. It's people submitting openly and honestly to the objective of where we're trying to go. And yet there's flexibility. Well, I'd say, how is there unity and then flexibility with the small groups? The flexibility is in the structure. It's in the place. It's in the activities that are involved. And the small groups are designed so that you don't have to be covering the same chapter. We cover the same book in the course of a semester, if you will, or a year. However, not every group is going at the same pace. Not every group is at the same location. They're not. They're geographically designed that way. And not every group will even have the same activities, but the same group dealing with the same basic material and objectives. There is opportunity for you to ask questions. There is opportunity for you to have fellowship with families maybe that you didn't know. There is opportunity for you to receive support and encouragement. And I would say to you that there is not a person in this room, starting with the one that's standing in front of you, and every one of you that are sitting there, that don't need encouragement. Let's try it. Anybody that does not need encouragement? I know, you're going to say, who's going to raise your hand, Pastor Dan? You know what I'm saying. I don't mean that in a negative way. We do. We face things in our lives. We face things in our families. We face things at work. We face things with our neighbors. We face things in the church. Come on, let's be honest. We face things with one another. We know one another. We get on one another's nerves, and all of that happens. We need the encouragement. You know, we do. And that's one of the things we need. There's a great opportunity with these small groups to get that, to get it in an intimate way. Look at, time's really going quick on me, but let's just look quickly. Luke chapter 2. Let's look at this one. In Luke chapter 2. Maybe I'll just look at two passages very quick. Luke chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. I don't mean to use these out of context at all. He had the Passover. This is when the parents didn't even know where he was. What's going on with my son? And you'll know the text when you see it. Then go to verse 46 of Luke 2. It says, then after 3 days they found him. Where did they find him? In the temple. What was he doing? Sitting in the midst of the teachers, watch, both listening to them. And what was he doing? Asking questions. No, it really wasn't a small group. I understand that. But you get the idea. Even the Lord, he met with them where they were meeting, and he was listening to what was being said, and he had some questions. And you go on to verse 47, and all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. There was interaction. There was involvement. I'll give you as a reference Luke 17:2. I won't turn there. I have many other references, but 17:2 is where you'll see that that's what they did. They went into the synagogue and they reasoned with them and they started to talk and they had some questions and answers and they wanted to be involved. Okay, but so what do small groups do? It allows for that opportunity for you to really, you know, we all have questions. Sometimes we don't want to ask because we think we're going to feel stupid. Sometimes we don't want to ask because we won't want people to think, you know, I'm really thinking that way. You know, I teach in the high school here. And I'm honest, very open and honest with my high school students. And I know that there are students sitting in my class that their parents think they believe one thing, and those students really don't. And I'm honest with them. And those are what we want to do. So what's your questions? Let's go. Let's answer. Let's try to find some answers to those questions. And sometimes they open up, and they're willing to open up. I mean, I really have a question about this. Good. Let's talk. And that's what small groups does. But it should be part of the local church, not independent of it. So we're working together and we keep the unity and the harmony. There should never be a situation, well, I don't want to be part of the small groups, but I'm going to have my study. Well, why? Let's work together. Make another small group. We're in favor of that. Right now we have six of them. They're posted on the board. And they're designed to be different nights. And they're designed to be a different geographical locations to make it easy. You might look at that and say, none of them fit. Okay, would you be willing to host one? Oh, wow. Maybe you can do that. Or maybe you'd be willing to teach one that might be in your area. Well, we're looking for that. Okay, so we're looking for that. So maybe you can host. Maybe you'd be willing to get involved. Talk to one of the elders. Our plan has been that way with the small groups. To have many different geographical locations, to have many different nights, to have many different teachers. And I believe, I don't know the exact days, but I know for we have Monday, it starts tomorrow, one of the groups, we all the way to Saturday, and we have some on Thursdays. And I know in the past we've had them on Tuesday, we used to have them at prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. So we are flexible, and we'll try to work with those that could accommodate that. Okay? And why? It's to give you, part of our plan is to give you a Bible study called a small group where there can be interaction, where you can get to know those that are really coming to your small group so that you can increase in your prayer support. We want to improve prayer in the church. We want you to be able to pray. And I will tell you this, and I would love to hear some testimonies. Maybe we should do that. Not this morning, but another time, of those small groups. Because I know that they're praying for one another, and some of them are really opening up their hearts to that small group, and they're really praying and supporting one another. That's wonderful. Wonderful. We want that to happen. We also want to see an increase through the small groups. Listen carefully. This is part of the plan of the elders. We want to see an increase in the awareness and outreach to missionaries, to our students, and yes, to the community. To the community. So I want you to hear this challenge from me this morning. In the small groups, one of the things that we'd like to do is have you to be able to reach into a small group. And you know what? I believe the elders would be open. We don't have anything like this, but I believe the elders would be open. If you would want to have a small group, for example, on a Saturday morning, because you can't make any nights, you come and talk to us. We'd love to have that. Or a Saturday afternoon. Or a Sunday afternoon. Whatever. What I'm trying to say is, you know, we're not structured that it has to be these nights. We're open so that we can make it possible for this to happen. But here's what. We'd like to see the outreach to missionaries. We did this before. We're going to try to do it again, and Camille's here, so make a note on this, Camille. What I'm going to ask by the end of today is that the mission board assign a missionary to every one of the small groups. Now, we have more missionaries than we do small groups right now. But at least one, And that small group's going to be required to, if you will, I use the word requirement, are assigned to basically pray for that missionary. They will contact that missionary. They will try to see some of the requests, and they will come up with ways to try to meet some of the needs of that missionary. We'd like to see that happen. Number two, students, take a note. Dyers, by the end of the day, what I would like done, because they start tomorrow, is the assignment of those students to the small groups. So that every group, that doesn't mean you can't pray for all the other missionaries. That doesn't mean you can't pray for all the other students. But so that each small group has one student that they really concentrate on praying for, contacting, maybe sending some goodies to, or whatever, so that we can really reach out to these students that we're praying for. I think it'd be good for us as a body. Third, and I talked to, we had a meeting with the small group leaders and hosts the other night, and we mentioned this one. The other thing is we'd like each individual small group to take it upon themselves to see how you can reach out to your community. How you can do it is your small group. It's a great way for the small groups, such as what? Let me give you some simple suggestions. Your small group could decide that we're going to go Christmas caroling to a local nursing home. We're going to go visit some people in a local. We're going to go take the people in our geographical area that aren't coming, and we're going to encourage them, or whatever it is. We'd like the small group. So you small group leaders and teachers and hosts, start to pray about that and think about that. What is the whole purpose? The whole purpose is for us to be serving. The whole purpose is for us to be actively involved, of studying the Word, of praying, of having fellowship, having an outreach into the community, and really building up the body of Christ. Small groups is a wonderful opportunity for that. You don't have it if you just come Sunday morning. And in saying that, I don't want to be misunderstood. There are people who come Sunday morning and you're very actively involved in other things. But remember the statistics. There are also people that come, and this is, you got to be honest. This is the only time you're here. And you're not attending anything else. And you're not involved with anything else. And we want to encourage you. We don't want to, this isn't coming down on you. It's trying to encourage you. You know what? We want to encourage you. We want to be an outreach to you. And you need to be an outreach. We need you because it says in verse 16, every joint supplies and each individual part causes the growth of the body. So we need you. And we need one another. We'd like to see that. And what it'll end up with is a church-wide building. Let me close with two passages of Scripture. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. So the small groups are just starting up. If you've never been to one, you should be to one. And if you're like me, and I've had, let me be very specific with myself. Use myself as an example. I've been involved in teaching many home Bible studies, and I've had them in my home, and I've gone to other homes to teach them. And when we started small groups, my wife and I would visit the various small groups to see what was going on, and people have suggested we do that. But this particular time, I'm going to be involved in teaching one of the small groups as well. Why? Just so that I'm involved in that small group is going to the same thing that we're talking about here. Take on a student. We're going to take on a missionary. And we're going to take on, because I want to be teaching a study that's in harmony with everything else that's going on. So that we're seen as working together as a body. And I think that's important for all of us to do. Let me encourage you with this. Hebrews chapter 12. Just the book of Hebrews. I probably didn't tell you where we're going. But chapter 12 first. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, that's talking about all the saints in chapter 11, all that they faced, and many of them faced tremendous difficulties. And I started this message with the fact that look at the world we're living in. Look at the difficulties we're facing. Look at all the challenges that we have. And yet there are people that have lost their lives in the past and have faced difficult things, and they remained a testimony for Christ. He says, you have that witness surrounding you. Lay aside. Now, it's different for every person. But let us lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us. That's interesting because that's the concept of a runner. I happened to talk to a man yesterday. I talked to him just after he finished running 25 miles. I looked at him and I said, "You just ran 25 miles?" He said, "Yeah." He looked like he hadn't run a quarter of a mile. I'm serious. He had just run 25 miles. But when he ran that race, because I knew a little bit about the text, "Did you have any weights on you? Are you kidding? I wouldn't have been able to run." You see, if we carry these weights around, what are they? I don't know what my weights are, and I have to work on that. I don't know what your weights are. You do. What is it that's weighing you down from really doing what you should be doing? Don't let it entangle you. And if it is sin, confess it and move on. Don't let it entangle you. And look at this. Let us run with endurance. You say, "I don't run." Oh, you're going to run this race because you're running in the race for Christ. This is a race you want to be in that is set before us. How are we to do this? Fix your eyes someplace. Where? On Pastor Dan? No. On the local church? No. On Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. That's where we need to have our eyes focused. Folks, we've just studied it in Peter. We are going to stand before the Lord and give account. Let us focus in on him and ask him, "How can I do this so I am involved the way I can be?" And remember, I said there's some limitations. There's legitimate things. We understand that. But we need to fix our eyes on the Lord, the author and finisher of faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, he was able to even endure the cross. Listen, when we were enemies, when we were without Christ, when we were sinners, when we were helpless, Christ died for us. He was able to bear it all because of the joy that was set before him. He didn't get lost in the little stuff. He was focused on the big picture. He, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He finished his job. He finished it. "For consider him," verse 3, "who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Have you ever done that? Come on. I have. Don't grow weary. Don't lose heart. Get your eyes focused on the Lord. And I close with this. Hebrews 10, verse 22, quickly. 22 to 26. And let me even save some time. Let me go down in Hebrews chapter 10. I got to go to 22. Let's do it. "Let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." And here it is. "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised, he's faithful." And here's what I want you to grab, verses 24, 25, and 26. "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." Can you do that this week? Can I do that? Let us purpose this week that I am going to consider how I can stimulate one another to good works and to love. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the habit of some is, but encouraging." Can you do that this week? "Encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." We believe Christ is coming back. We believe things are going to get worse. All the more we should be looking for ways to encourage. "For if we go on sinning willfully," he says that, "there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." And I don't want to get away from the context on that. But here's the point. We need to have our eyes fixed on the Lord. We need to have our eyes fixed on encouraging and considering how we can help build up. Why? Because the ministry is this. It's not Pastor Dan. It's not Pastor Stringer. It's not pastors. It's not elders. The ministry is all of us. And there's a tool that's available to help us in a small way. Be very actively involved in prayer, in fellowship, in Bible study, and in community outreach, in encouragement. And that tool is small groups. Look to attend one. And if you're not attending one, maybe you want to host one. Maybe you look at the board and say, "There's another day that I'm free. I can't do it those times. But let's come together." And my prayer and the prayer of the Board of Elders is that the small groups this year will be used by God to help really get us out there as a shining light in this community with all the different small groups working in unity and yet independent and functioning with flexibility so that we will have an impact this coming year on this community for the glory of God. Come on in. Be a participant. We need you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you for the Word of God. I thank you for the design of Christ. Not only is he building his church, but he's given gifts to the church to equip us so that we can all be involved in the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body, so we all come in unity. Father, there's so many churches today, and sometimes it can happen to us. It probably happens to all churches that there are divisions, and there's schisms that shouldn't be. Help us to be unified. Help us to work together. Help us, Father, to see the greater picture. And might we, as we go into the small groups, just see you bless abundantly so that our lives will be encouraged. You know the heart and mind of everyone in this room. And Father, you know the encouragement that we need and the uplifting. And help us to be able to, this week, consider how we can encourage one another, how we can uplift one another, and what we can do to bring honor and glory to your name. Thank you for this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Chris?
Let's close by singing a song I think we used to know a lot. We haven't sung it here in a while, but it's 286 in the hymnal, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds Our Hearts in Christian Love." Let's just sing the first stanza together, and we'll be dismissed to this afternoon. 286, let's stand up and we'll sing that first verse.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above.
Thank you. You are dismissed. See you back tonight, 5 o'clock.